But have you a lefty?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Salah is from the language of Salah. Michal is from the language of Machok. What?
No,
this is my.
Oh, but how do you know that ideologically that's correct? Ideologically,
because when usually we have a principle: whenever two letters of a shorish are the same, the odds are high that they are related. Okay, so that slach is from salek. Salek means to remove. Michal is from machak, which means to erase. And those of you who heard it from Rabbi Rakowski Shabbos Agoros Rosha, he said that kaper is from the language of kaporet, which was a barrier, a curtain in the Beit HaMikdash. So that means to separate. Now, the highest form of atonement. In this case, it's tricha. To remove it. Right? If you just put a kaporet, the separation between yourself and the sin is still there. It's just like quartered off, separated. If you erase a sin, it's like if you erase ink. It doesn't come totally clean. There's still something to be seen. If you're misaleket, you remove it, then it's gone.
A clean place.
So we started with saying Michal Labonoseinu. Now we have several levels of Avera. Right? The levels of Avera are Chet, Avon, and Pesha. So Chet is a right sin. Generally speaking, literally it means to miss the target. Whereas I shoot at something and I miss. That's l'achti. So it means I mess up, basically. Okay? Avon is deliberate.
But it's due to desires, right? Because
what?
Due to desires.
Desire. Pesha is rebellion. Pesha rebel against Hashem. So obviously there are three levels. Chet is the lowest. Avon is the middle. Pesha is the worst,
levels
right?
Levels
of sin, right? Mm-hmm. So,
what the pesha would be what? Like, a guy, I don't care about it, I hate you so much, I'm trying to
rebel.
I say, you know, tough on you!
And that's right.
You have no need to tell the lie, you just want to do your
petition.
Not
fine.
Okay. But if there is a need, that would be an avon.
What?
If there is a need, like, you need a light to shower.
Yeah, it would be an avon.
That would be an avon, okay.
And now, if you can have, that's what we say in Shmona Esra, in regular Shmona Esra, we say, Slap Manu Adinu Hi Chatanu, Chal Manu Malteinu, Hi Fashanu. So, for the light sins, the chet, they just brush them away. You know, like a father brushes, you know, a father doesn't make a very meticulous, strict husband with his kids. You know, if they do something wrong and it's a light thing, you know, it's like water under the bridge. We don't, he lets it go, right? So, and Avera, right, this is Bachman gives you Chatan. On the Peshia, though, right? On the Shoyim, that's much tougher, right? So, then we say, and that, Mechav. It's true, you won't be, and of course, from this perspective, we can't appeal to Hashem as an of. If we just rebelled against him, right? We're rebelling against him. How do we call him an of? So we say, well, he's our melech, whether we like it or not. So we ask for mechila. Mechal lono malkeinu kifashanu. It's interesting, kapara doesn't come in to this equation. I think kapara is a unique concept for Yom Kippur. In other words, the avoda of Yom Kippur was able to put a barrier between the sinner and punishment. We say, it means that be patient with me. I'm on the derech. I'm moving somewhere. So, for the meantime, put a barrier between my sin and my the ramifications of this sin. So kapara, therefore, is not mentioned during the rest of the year. Kapara is mentioned specifically on Yom Kippur. Okay?
But
so far, so good?
No, but how does the kapara come into atonement?
What?
How does the word kapara mean atonement?
Because on Yom Kippur,
we get atoned. I mean, we like completely forgiven.
But yeah, but what does atone mean? It means this is like we say by kapara, right? Zeha tani gol yelech lemisa. Right?
Uh-huh.
So that what are we saying there? We're saying this should be instead.
Yeah.
Now, does that really purify the soul? No. It puts a barrier between myself and the Avera. In other words, it's like giving, so to speak, a bribe. Right? And saying, you know, let's focus on this getting killed for now and let's not kill me. So that's not, that is good. But real tshuva is something more than that. It's not just the kapara, but also there is an internal process as well. So kapara is, it can be external. It can be a chicken. It can be a tzedaka, right? The other ones, slicha, mechila, are more internal. Okay? Is that what I'm saying? Anybody lost so far?
Does that matter today?
What?
Always.
Always lost?
Yeah.
Okay. Got anything out of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We learned today that for positive commandments, which you get from the head on this category, as soon as you do the Shiva, you're forgiven and it's erased right away, removed right away.
Right.
And Lo Ta'aseh, that is the same thing as Lo Ta'aseh that I said afterwards. Something that you would get lashes for, I guess, right? Then the Yom Kippur will atone for that. But something that is like that it's Karas or Hav Nisa, then Yom Kippur would not atone for it. So by the time I get the separation to come back here, right? You actually have to go through some sort of a process as well.
You saw it.
So how does it fit into the system? Does it fit in or
the there where it says that Tolet Umechater, that's using a different, it doesn't fit into the system properly. It's not the same usage there. Their mechaper means to complete the process.
Yes.
Okay, so that's not the same. You know, it wouldn't fit in. Okay, so let's go through the bracha. Okay, we're going to say, Mechal Avod Seder B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. Okay, so Averos, which are Avonos, deliberate sins, we ask Hashem, B'Mochel, means erase them, on Yom Kippur, Mechay V'Haver, Sho'enu V'Chato Seinu Minegere Necha. So it's interesting the language here, Mechay for Pishoyim, Haver for Chatoyim. Mechay is, like we said, is the same Lashon as Mechal. Haver is a very similar Lashon to Slach. Slach, we said, means to remove. Haver also means to remove. So in essence, it was simply saying, Mechay Pishoyenu v'Haver Chatoseinu minegedei necha. Erase our Pishoyim and remove our Chatoyim from opposite your eyes. And therefore, what we're saying is very important. It's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, even though the mitzvah is to do tshuva, there is an opinion in the Gemara, Rebbe, who says, Yom Kippur, Yitzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. The very day itself. We're saying, Hashem, you know, what? From your perspective, in essence, we're saying, you know, you can pass them like Rebbe. It's okay. We don't mind. So we say that, You, because it's Yom Kippur, forget about the tshuva business, right? Just mechayv aver sheinu b'chatoseinu minegedei necha. Erase that which can only be erased. Remove that which can be removed. Don't pay attention to that. In other words, for this coming year, don't take this into account. Just look at me without those averos, without those pshoim and those chatoim. It's not that the guy's going to save himself from burning in hell. Eventually he'll burn in hell. But right now on Yom Kippur he's concerned with the short term. Now of course he should be concerned with the long term as well, right? He should want to do tshuva. But in the short term I say to Hashem, negedei necha always is a term opposite Hashem's eyes for Hashem's hashkacha. Hashem's, what's the word I'm looking for? Hashem's attention, which he gives the creation. So saying, you know, God, when you look at us with and your mashgiach on us, so please, let's not pay very much attention to the averos.
Let's say a person does that, right? And
let's say I don't know about the vision. So will that be unfair to me? Because I didn't ask that of God. So I'll be looked at from the whole of my affairs, and he'll be just.
That's the beautiful thing about tefillah. Tefillah works even if you don't understand exactly what you're saying. As long as you say it with the right kavana, tefillah has a magic to it.
Really?
You understand what I'm saying?
Question.
Works because the Anshei Knesset Agdola told you, you say these words with kavana, we'll take care of the rest for you. That's pretty cool. That's what they did.
But kavana, they mean the same definition of the word?
No! Just me and them sincerely in a simple way. You don't have to understand what a pesha is, what a chait is. That's not essential.
Basic translation.
Yeah, but even a simple translation, you don't have to differentiate between them. You can just understand it. Says it means atone for our sins. Opposite your eyes. That's okay. That's enough.
What?
The words then work on their own.
What is a pesha? What's a chait? And what's
a chait? You came late. It's on the board.
Is it?
Missed the target.
Oh, okay.
Avon is deliberate. And Pesha is rebellion.
So, would you say that if God has a Kavana, does that make you even more better?
Yeah.
But if you really. If really
but that's like a hitter. You know what a hitter mitzvah is?
No. It's beautiful.
Yeah, making the mitzvah more beautiful.
I find it hard, though, because I first say everything in Hebrew. But then I tried to read what I just said in English. It's just taking my time. I get so frustrated because I'm standing there for like half an hour just trying to get the feel done. You know,
how long did Rosh Hashanah actually take in Rosh Hashanah Musaf?
Musaf took half an hour.
That's it?
What do you mean that's it?
It's the part that they have different Musaf hours.
2.5 hours.
No, I
2.5 hours.
Just standing.
2.5 hours.
What are you doing?
I want to understand what I'm saying.
Don't you get to have much other words with him? So I just went through his mouth and just stood down. I don't understand. I thought the throne was very into like tefillah.
So,
no, we have a small tefillah.
That's actually this year was longer than usual, but usually it's an hour and a half, at least an hour and a half for Moshe Shemoneh
Esrei. No, that's not
with us.
That's Rabbi.
That's
how can you have more quickly than that? You're complaining to me, half an hour you're saying, right?
What do you say for 1.5 hours?
No, I read. I take a perush on the tefillos, and as I'm davening, I read the perush.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just holding two books, and like I did. So I'm holding two books, and
why
have books?
So my point is that, so what?
You're tired. No, I would go on.
Get a standard.
I would go on.
Yeah, that's all.
15 minutes? How can you even say the words in 15 minutes?
No, what are you saying?
It's a very small musaf about. That's how.
What are you saying?
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah.
No.
Are you kidding me? The whole thing is a half an hour itself. Just by reading it.
No, it's not. All
you do is you have Malchus Yichron Shofar. Don't you have all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you have Temp Sukim
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I'm 15 minutes.
That's 15 minutes.
How long is it going to take you?
I don't know.
He's a bigger misnagger than
he's
known.
Are
you sure it's Vardy?
No, and he's down this whole thing. I'm not talking about Vardy. Really? And
I think
it
has to take a minimum of 45 minutes.
It looks to me as 15 minutes. Maybe it was longer. I didn't look at the watch. So to me, it looks like 15 minutes.
Hour 45 minutes. That's good.
Yeah, hour and a half. Same here.
Just for one person reading?
No, the whole service.
With the Hazara. That's
fast. Yeah.
No, the whole thing maxes to us now with the Hazara, with everything. All the belongings, everything to us, maximum hour. It could take more than that.
I don't know, down. Even Marshall was like,
I downed it. I don't know, it was net, so maybe it was faster than net.
Oh, yeah, next minute I'm
using
it.
Oh, because you were halfway sleeping.
I know we were halfway sleeping. I mean, by that time it was 9 o'clock already, so.
Okay, in any event, take your time. You're not supposed to.
But then you're missing the whole Kedusha.
Big deal.
It's a big deal.
No.
I was asking a lot of questions. If I put it down slowly, just because Hazan over there, 5 minutes, and he's done, I have to rush for him and just to make it to give you a shot?
Mm-mm.
Does that make any sense?
No.
Fine. If I was in India where people don't say Yudu, right? I want to say 5 minutes. Should I say Yudu by myself without anybody else?
Sure.
No.
Ah, can you please turn the braces that way?
You don't have to. Vidui in chakras is optional. Let me tell you a big secret. Tachnun is optional.
What?
We just say it because it's in the sitter. But it's not. They don't tell you that, right?
It's part
no.
of the.
Yeah, is it true that Myrav used to be optional?
Yeah.
Why did that?
Yeah, I just thought
that guy who made Myrav not optional. What
he's
was
thinking.
He thinking?
He's just thinking.
We could have had Myrav not optional.
Anyway, Rabbi, the point is that Tachnun became very accepted, but at times like Gemara, they didn't say Tachnun on a regular basis.
I think it's a good idea to say Tachnun every day. I don't see what's the problem. Every time they say Tachnun every day, it's important.
Because people don't take it seriously.
They should. What do you mean?
Who does? It's
why not? I mean, you know, imagine you walk out in the car.
You have to guess why, but inside it's really good.
No, we don't do that. We stand. We
the Hasidim will never say Tachnun.
Okay. You gotta get hit by a car. I mean, it's the third one, you know?
What?
I'm saying, like, if you walk out of Minsk, you get hit by a car, and you say Tachnun that day, it's like pretty bad. I mean, as opposed to say tough and then walking out and getting hit by a car.
Why is he hitting you in the first place?
Let's say you're going to die after you walk out with the Minsk, right?
If he's out of the Gushman Esrei, it's okay. You mean
no.
Say Tachnun.
No, but Tachnun helps. I'm sure it helps a lot.
Didn't help you very much just then.
At least you don't get
by the way, you're not supposed to say Tachnun when you're traveling.
Nothing to travel.
When you're traveling, you're not supposed to say Tachnun.
Why?
Because it can arouse judgment against you.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Like if you want to...
Yeah, an airplane.
Oh.
So you have nothing at all? Just forget... I was saying opposite. You got best if you didn't travel. Like, you know, you can fly your queen.
No, but while you're on an airplane or while you're, you know, traveling.
But why
are you
asking for forgiveness? Why would that do anything else?
It's the opposite. David said this. By Yom David El God, Solomon Ode, right? We not every Nusach says that. I don't know if it's right and say it. Chabad doesn't say that. But that thing, by Yom David El God, David said just before bad things happen to him. You know? So, we want to be. The Gemara says. The main reason is the Gemara says that when Rabbi Lozer ben Huknus was put into Cheren, so his wife never let him say Tachnun. Because his wife was Rama Gamliel's sister.
She's
afraid of her husband said Tachnun, her husband would die.
Her brother
would die, I'm sorry. And one day she wasn't watching, and Rabbi Lozer ben Huknus said Tachnun, and Rama Gamliel died.
I don't understand,
but
why?
So we see. Tachnun is a dangerous thing.
What?
Because he's Agmas Nefesh, Rabbi Lezer ben Horkanus is Agmas Nefesh, his anguish aroused judgment in Shamayim against Rabbi Gamliel.
Well, he's saying that the judgment is going on right now.
Huh?
The judgment is going on all the time.
No, not true.
I'm saying right now being judged right now.
I don't understand.
You're not being judged right now.
No.
Oh, yeah? So what I did. 2 years ago,
it's
for
the
guys already?
No, I'm saying this moment right now, you're not judged.
Right.
Or when you go
off, but you can bring judgment upon yourself.
Yeah.
The Lord says if you walk underneath a wall which is about to fall,
you're
asking for it.
200 miles in your car?
What?
You are 200 miles in your
yeah,
car.
Yeah, yeah, if you put yourself in a dangerous situation. So Tachnun arouses judgment. So therefore, if we have people traveling, they avoid
wait,
things.
Wait, a Pharisee made true, you don't get judged? That's
a, every day of a Pharisee made true?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
So how does
made
the
tshuva.
Court work? Like, how does the
they give you 10 days to do tshuva. At the end of 10 days, they come and say, okay, let's see how you did.
What if you messed up in those 9 days?
What?
What if you messed up 9 out of the 10 days?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Let's say you just
like, what if you messed up 10 out of the 10 days?
Yeah.
But basically, the whole thing boils down to you in the era. Everything is a preparation for the year. You know what it's like? It's like in baseball. You have you. They pay how many games they play in a season? 160 or so,
yeah.
Right? Just to get it all means nothing. The World Series is everything, right? So the have you, Elef, Alfe, Havdolos. Everything is in the year. The whole Avoda, which comes before, is for the year. Yeah.
How can you perform good at Neila if you didn't perform well at previous?
That may be. That's a separate question. In other words, the team doesn't win the World Series out of the blue. It worked hard the whole season. But sometimes, in 1969, the Mets won the World Series. It was an ace. Right? I think this is a little bit that I actually know. The team which is in first place on July 4th wins the pennant. It wins the division. The Mets were in last place on July 4th. And somehow by the end of the season they got the first place and they won the World Series that year.
That's amazing.
They're called the Miracle Mets. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it happens, you know. Mm-hmm. It's possible that a person can have such a drive in moments. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Yesh Koneh Olamo B'Sha'achas. A person acquires his world in one moment. Of course, your Ne'ilah would probably look a lot better if you said Slichus well, and you got him well in Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, but it's possible.
In all those moments, people died right there and then. Nobody says, well, I got my Olamo B'Sha'achas, I want to live happily ever after.
What do you mean?
In those cases, where a person dies in Olamo B'Sha'achas one moment, he died at that moment as well.
Yeah, so?
Same. You didn't get your Olamo B'Sha'achas that moment that you live happily ever after.
Yeah, so?
So I'm going to have a good
meal,
I'm
going to
die, I'm
going to
have a heart attack,
and no, it's not the same, that's the thing. Those people are doing tshuva for who are very wicked people previously, that's what Gemara says. People are very wicked when they do tshuva,
they have to die.
It's too risky. But our sins are not sins, our mitzvahs are not mitzvahs, right? We're just drifting.
What are we doing here?
We're drifting.
Can it be that, like...
It's very easy for us to do tshuva. That's the point. Yes, it is.
To not do it again?
No!
Oh.
But to feel at that moment, I'm not going to do it again yet. In other words...
Why do you say that?
Why? Because we are the... You know what ADD is?
Yeah.
We're the ADD generation. Even people who haven't been diagnosed with ADD, they're also ADD. Everybody's ADD.
What?
Attention deficit disorder. In other words, we can go, in our mind, within the space of a minute, every single one of us in this room can go through the course of, can go from one end of the world to the other and back again. Right? Our mind goes to 500 different things in the course of a minute. Do you ever have that experience?
Never been
that right now.
Right. Is there anybody who doesn't have that experience?
Woman.
Right?
What?
So, women for sure. So the... So that means that anything, we can go from 0 to 60 in a second. So that means that it's much easier for us to get excited. Now, our excitement is not the same type of excitement which once happened when a person did tshuva. But it is an excitement, and that excitement about tshuva can come for us very, very quickly.
Okay.
We can very quickly then go up the other direction, but that's an advantage of our disadvantage.
That's the question. Let's see. Turn on the electricity, right? That, you know, according to some posting, that that's the Oraita, right?
Yeah.
According to others, it's the Rabbanim.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, I guess, if it's the Rabbanim, the punishment is much less severe than it's the Oraita, assuming that's true.
Right.
So then can you pray that God, you know, those times that turn the light on Shabbos, may be in your eyes according to the Rabbanim, like, you know, so it won't be like on the same level as the Oraita sin, it will be like one of those, I guess, less type of sins. Can you ask him to look at, even though that's not the exact opinion, let's say, can you ask him about that? What
not necessarily, you don't know God answers, but you can answer.
Eli, doesn't it say that Rosh Hashanah, everything is sort of put down on the blueprints, but then by Yom Kippur and the Eli, it's like finalized, it's the same?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not finalized, do they rewrite things?
You know, did you ever have to write a paper in high school or college?
Yeah.
They probably told you 6 weeks in advance, right?
A month in advance.
Yeah, but you did it the night
and of
before.
Course, you did it the night before. and sometimes not the night before, but you were rushing just before class to get it printed out. And
yeah.
Okay. That's the way it is.
Two questions.
Human beings are like that. That's
about
the way
all the work that you're in the Rosh Hashanah.
You'll have a better paper then. If you had started writing that paper when they assigned it to you, you would have had a much better paper, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you came across with, you know, you limped across the finish line with a mediocre paper, but you passed. I hope you passed.
I graduated.
Yeah. So that is a very similar thing. The more work you put into it, the easier it is. But it doesn't mean that you can't limp across the finish line too.
So, what if you like you work the whole time very, very hard, and during the Eli you just fell asleep?
It won't happen.
Believe me.
It won't happen.
The Hazan will work.
It won't happen. No. So if it happens, but onas, oh, you're okay. Yeah.
What? Two questions. The first. What is Hoshana Rabbah? If in Yom Kippur, why the opinions that
Hoshana Rabbah is really for water?
Oh, really? It's not
yeah.
the final seal.
Since it's also since it's a judgment on water, so therefore there is this concept of you know it's still judgment time. Listen, according to this, the Chassidish Sfarim, it's still judgment time till Hoshana Rabbah. It's still judgment time till Chanukah. You know, I see they write it. You know, that's yeah. It's really the last time it's Chanukah.
And then Purim was also the judgment day, right?
So maybe that's from the next year already. I don't know. But the point is that there are always lifelines you can tap into. According, but the Ikar din is finished by Yom Kippur. Hoshana Rabbah is really a judgment on water. Because water is such a basic element, essential element. So therefore.
And in these days that we don't have prophet and Beit HaMikdash and all that, after Yom Kippur, when we finish Yom Kippur, it's kind of we know that Hashem forgives us. Or
yeah.
How?
Because most Jews can the only time of year they come close to feeling Hashem is by Ni'ilah, and people have a sense they don't know for sure that their sins were forgiven. But they have a sense of closeness to Hashem, a sense of a true mission in life, which gives them the satisfaction of having made everything worthwhile. You know, all Yom Kippur, you sit there with a machzor. Don't think I don't do this. How many pages left? How many pages left? How many pages left? Baruch Hashem, the last few pages of Kiddush Levana, now they don't really count. And before that, Marissa, how many pages do we have left? How many pages do we have left? So, we all go through Yom Kippur the same way, but by the end of Ni'ilah, that's not what you're thinking about. Right? Then you're thinking already, wish it could last longer. And those last few moments, you think, wish could last longer. I'm telling you, that's what makes everything worth it. Yeah.
Well, Kat says that when you come to your senses, you should be departed from your body. You should be all concerned about your soul. How is that possible?
It's not.
Your stomach
doesn't. It's not! It's not! It's just, you know, there's an English word for that, it's platitudes. You know, he's just writing nice things, but they're meaningless. They don't have anything to do with our generation.
No, but I'm saying though,
no.
I think it's possible, but not for me though.
Yeah, maybe for him.
No, seriously, because I think people straight, legit stuff for 3 years, you know? For 3 years, you know, all the time I would come to school first thing in the morning, I would think to myself, how are we going so fast, you know? Because I knew my stomach, in the morning wouldn't give me problems, you know? Because, you know, hunger is my weak spot.
He could actually transcend his body. In the good old days when people fasted every Monday and Thursday, you know, they were able to transcend their bodies. This doesn't work for us. But it works for us for Yom Kippur. We get more hungry, more tired, more hungry, more tired. As you said, Mincha's the worst. But then...
It's right before Ni'ilah.
Yeah.
After Ni'ilah, you don't eat. You're like full. You just don't have the anxiety.
Right.
No, look at this Yom Kippur. Watch. And you're really going to be hungry. Really weak. It's usually what they sell.
I don't know for sure. This is the way I look at it. I'm just wondering.
They give you a long haftorah by Mincha so you can sleep.
So what?
There's a long haftorah by Mincha.
You're right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this true? Like, I think like some people just like right away L. They get a high right away by L, and then like I mean, they go to tshuva right away by Elam, but some people, you know...
Not in this generation.
Seraphs, you made tshuva, some people, Yom Kippur.
In this generation, Halavai and Yom Kippur.
Well, that's the Mohan series.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not our fault. That's the way God made us. That's the way he put us.
Right. Mm-hmm. If a person has the opportunity to study something on Yom Kippur, what should he study? Is there any specific that is...
I don't think there's any, but whatever Mutter say for he enjoys. This is good. Strive for truth is good. Yeah.
What about if, sort of, I understand you, transcending your body is not exactly that possible today. What about restraint from eating and from, washing our hands? Is that aside, like a big major impact on physicality, and like wearing Crocs shoes is actually better than wearing my dress shoes for sure. But to some extent, it's to like transcend your body.
That's the symbolism of it.
It gives you a little bit push for the ruchnius side.
Listen, I'm not going to dispute you. I'm just going to tell you, in the good old days, people used to fast all the time. They used to deliberately sleep on the floor.
Men or women?
Both. They were there. It was the difference. Nowadays, who fasts? And by the Goyim?
Yeah.
Right? The Arabs, yes, but the Christians? Nobody fasts.
How was the Arabs really fasting still faker than
the Listen, you should make, when you have them, when you say the Baruch Shalom Sani Goy, you should have in mind, not just that Shlosh Sani Goy because we have more holiness, but Shlosh Sani Goy because we don't have to fast 30 days straight. Because that is, I don't know how to do it.
That's the day he dies,
to
fast the whole world. I think in Shari Tshuva, it said that every night when you go to sleep, maybe this corresponds to Hamata, that you say it because your neshama goes up to Shemayim and there's some sort of judgment that takes place. Is that true? Is that correct or not really?
Yeah, but it's not a real judgment. In other words, your neshama gives an accounting.
Gives an accounting.
Yeah.
It's not an actual judgment that goes on.
It's the way Chazal depicted it. It's like you write in your book. Meaning, I guess what it means, I never really gave the matter much thought before, but I guess what it means is that we know that sleep is necessary for the brain to assimilate certain things. So your neshama at night assimilates what it took in during the day,
uh-huh.
And that means it's embedded now in your neshama, and that's if it's written in the sefer. The sefer is really your neshama. It's not no.
So you're saying the experience is directly linked to your. I thought neshama was sort of like that picture was sort of like this stagnant. I don't even know how to describe it. The neshama, but this sort of the stagnant thing that gives you life force. Or your ruach.
The shama is dynamic, absolutely dynamic.
So it's affected by your experience, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So, if you were to refrain from behavior that obviously is forbidden or usher, full of tumah, and the greatest thing you could do is sort of experience, is what you're saying. I mean, would it be better for you to experience just different life situations rather than sit and learn all day? Is that better for you?
The assumption is that sitting and learning, those of us who sit and learn, assume that sitting and learning is at least the moral equivalent, if not the actual parallel, of having all sorts of life situations.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so much to learn in so many different areas,
right,
that you can replicate, that experience which you might have elsewhere in a very more positive way by learning.
And is that affected sort of by what you're saying, though, is how today, I mean, it's so hard to actually, if I'm saying, Nikita, to put yourself in Yitzhak's shoes, and really feel that, or if you say, Karbanos, to feel like you're really offering a korban, it's like, it's a totally, if I'm out, chopping wood, I feel like I'm chopping wood, I feel that it's so much more real to me. That's sort of what we cling to today. So, do you think that I could sort of supplant all the time and spend the base measure for your regular average Joe, or you still would advocate sitting in a base measure and learning as a way to experience all these things that you're talking about, the depth of Torah?
For the regular average Joe, he should go out and experience them practically. It's only the great the scholar who's going to who should get it completely out of mind.
But I don't understand. You don't remember anything that happened when you come down, that judgment, like every day they're writing in the book. Like, I don't get it. You don't remember anything. And another thing is...
Who says you don't remember?
I don't know.
It's not taking place in your conscious mind. It's taking place in your unconscious mind. So your unconscious mind might remember, but it's a different kind of memory. There are lots of things in your unconscious mind. In your unconscious mind, you have a record of how you were born.
Really?
Sure. It's there. You experienced it. You can't tap into it, though.
And I heard that Neshama really knows everything. You just can't know anything because it's in the body, but once it's outside the body...
That's before it's born. Yeah, I don't think when it's in your mind every night, that's the case.
No, I'm saying outside the body means when the person after 120, he could receive the whole world. But inside the body, because he won't have the hero.
Right. Yeah.
So when the Neshama is in this world, so like God arranges situations for it?
What?
So when the Neshama is in this world, so Hashem arranges situations for it to impact it, so it like re-registers itself every day?
What would be the alternative? In other words, why is that a novel idea to you?
Because you would think that... I don't know what you would think.
I think that's the only way to think it. Yeah. I mean, this is clear. The Nefesh HaChaim is full of this. The Nefesh HaChaim Belozer speaks at great length that the Neshama, everything you do and everything that you come into contact with makes an impression on your Neshama. Good impression, bad impression, major impression, minor impression, but everything makes an impression. It's on your Neshama. So your Neshama is constantly in a state of flux. It's constantly changing.
What are the people that have, like, you understand,
that's something else.
Yeah, what is the Neshama Seira? What is that? What is that all about?
That's not what you're speaking about. You're speaking about Gilgul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about Neshama Chadasha. That means, in other words, if you have a person who's been here before, so his Neshama has already, it's like a retread. You know, it has already other imprints from previous lives, and now you're adding imprints on top of those. Right? Shama Chadasha comes with a clean slate. There are no prior imprints.
Does it mean that God messed up somewhere along the way? Like, we need to come back here?
No, it means you messed up somewhere along the way.
No, because apparently I would have enough opportunity to fulfill what
you did.
Okay, so then why is there anything...
Because you're a loser.
Okay, so as a loser...
God, why am I just God to consign you to hell forever?
Why forever?
I mean, do me a favor. They send you back down.
But
it's worse. They say guilt could be worse again.
Yeah.
He's still doing you a favor.
So according to those who hold that the Google is not a Jewish son, okay, what would they hold this?
According to who?
Those that don't hold the Google.
They hold it, yeah. That you got one chance, and either you make it or you don't.
Okay, so
the Google guys hold yours again multiple chances. Each aspect has a certain sequence, which is nice.
But in a certain way, the Gilgul is better than Neshama Chadasha, because the Gilgul, it already has experience, meaning that a guy who's, what I mean is, let's say a guy's been working a job for 20 years, and a guy who's working a job only 1 year, the guy who's working the job 20 years has more experience.
Suppose there's a guy who for 20 years has been putting the wrong screw into the hole. Is that 20 years experience good for him, or bad for him?
Bad for him.
Yeah, so... That's not so simple.
Oh, and
is there an endless cycle?
That's why I like Sarah Palin. She doesn't have these years of, you know, candidate for vice president. She doesn't have the years of experience messing things up. Yeah.
Is there ever an end to this recycling process? You know, you always mess up. So if let's say for time the person here is a returned soul, so he could just as well mess up everything he did in the past life.
Right.
What's the purpose then if you just gonna continue to mess up? And it's always
each
the
time,
cycle.
Each time more of the less than the Neshama comes back.
But each time,
not the entire Neshama, when you have Jubal, not the entire Neshama returns to the earth.
Look at that.
What?
So what's the neshama that's split apart?
Yeah.
They want here?
Yeah.
How does that work out?
Why is that about?
Because your neshama is in your consciousness.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
So what is our neshama
then? Your consciousness is only the tip of the iceberg of your neshama.
What else is our neshama?
In your unconscious mind. In heaven. Beyond your head.
Wait.
And the Shema isn't the way of Chaim Baruch, but it's like a pipe going all the way up the Shemayim from you. And most of the Shema is outside your body.
How does that work with Shah? Wait, what does that mean?
It means that you have, your Shema is rooted in the highest worlds. And it comes down to this world, to you in this despicable body, in this despicable place, where only very little of it actually gets in. That's why Chazal say, the Kabbalim say on the parasha of Yavam, right? That the body with the soul in it is just like a shoe from the neshama. Most of the neshama is out there.
Wait, when a
shot
is, we get the extra neshama.
It's not a mistake. It's more neshama.
More neshama. What is that all about?
It means you get the Kabbalim say that there's internalized light or pnimi and or maki surrounding or enveloping light. That developing light is something you can tap into at very different times of the year. For example, in the Ela, a lot of that enveloping light becomes accessible to you.
So
even though the rest of you don't have access to it.
Right.
So every Shabbos you get in the Shema Yisera.
What about
Yom
Kippur? Say Yom Kippur doesn't leave you stage with you.
What?
Yom Kippur stays with you always.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
That's why they don't have that Dollar with the Shema?
Yeah.
I thought my place is where there is a Shema Yisera by Yom Kippur.
Those that I remember learning that those that hold that there's a shaman doesn't leave you, always stays with you.
That's an interesting idea. I never
heard
of
that. But on a regular yom kippur,
I'm trying to
stay with you.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm skeptical about that.
What about Rosh Chodesh?
But I'll tell you what I thought. Somebody just asked this question on Shabbos and I came up with a chiddush. This chiddush might be total sheker. It probably is, but nevertheless, it's cute. So, you know, the Mekubon divided the shaman into five parts, right?
What?
Yeah, Hindi Palace? Yeah, Hindi Palace. We went through it with the Yechidah. Right, so the, I want to say that on Shabbat you get Neshama Yisera, and on Yom Kippur you get Nefesh Yisera. What's the difference? Neshama is the more contemplative and intellectual aspect. Nefesh is the more exuberant and emotional aspect. So Shabbos is a contemplative and reflective day. So it's more neshama, right? This way, the Rashi in the Sefer Beis says you get more neshama so you can eat more. But that's not a contradiction. The thing about it, it's not a contradiction. Rashi says that neshama is there.
Literally,
I thought that was like a joke. I thought.
Yeah.
No.
So
it is, and Rashi has great sense of humor.
I don't think a little bit, do we?
Rashi says it's a Tzadik Tet Zion Amud Aleph Neshama Yisera Lochav Lev, an expanded heart, L'menucha for rest, U'lesimchon for happiness, V'liot Pasuch L'zachon, to be open broadly, V'yolchav Yishet, so we can eat and drink, the ain not so cut our love and not get disgusted by it.
What is it? What is that?
Ted Zion and Manalas and
Beza. Probably things back in those days, they literally eat a lot.
Beza. What?
Maybe because they used to fast for so much that the food was despicable to them, and on Shabbos the only day.
Well, Rashi is saying that in this, and on Yom Kippur, it's important to know, on Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah to eat. There's
it's
no mitzvah to eat.
It's
yeah, but I'm saying there's no mitzvah to eat a lot. Right? To have, it says buster and yayin because it can make you happy. But not there's no mitzvah to eat per se.
So where there's not
whereas, what?
Somebody has no mitzvah to eat.
Yeah, on Shabbos.
Mitzvah
has to be eating.
Everything you eat is on a Shabbos. Not everything you eat on Yontif is Sukkos Yontif. It's different. Oneg means pleasure. Simcha means happiness. Right? So, oneg is something, pleasure, or this kind of pleasure, which is not just, you know, material pleasure, but rather, as Rashi puts it, a broad heart, right? With menucha and with, what's the other thing you say, kedusha? With menucha and simcha. This is this kind of expansiveness is unique to Shabbos. On Yontif you have, I would say, nefesh yisera, meaning it's more exciting. The part of the soul which gets emotional gets much more emotional on Yontif. This is the part of the soul which is much more, as I said before, intellectual. Perhaps there's a better word than that, which I'm not thinking of at the moment. So that's, there is the Shami Yisera on Shabbos, but not necessarily on Yontif. Okay, if anything, it would be like Nefesh Yisera, not Neshama Yisera. But I don't know if that's true. It could all be made up. But this Rashi I did not make up. This Rashi is there. Okay? Who said they thought it was a joke? Is this?
Someone said it was a joke.
Did they think it was a joke?
They didn't source it. They just said, you know, oh, so you can eat more.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to do one pasuk. One more pasuk from the Shmoneh Esrei. We'll do some more, a little bit more tomorrow night, I guess. It says in the Shmoneh Esrei Yom Kippur, we quote a pasuk. Kamur, we say this also in Slichas. Anochi, anochi, mochep, shoech, lemani, v'chatu, secho, lo, ez, kor. Now, this is an important point. The first thing we say in the first part we quote is where Hashem says, I'm going to erase your sins for my sake. We're not stupid. We know our tshuva might not be so acceptable. But we say, remember Hashem, you said you're going to do it for your sake. Right? Asay l'mancha im lo l'manenu. Right? We say in Avinu Malkenu. So we say to Hashem, listen, you know, what can we do? Tshuva's hard. We're going to try. You know, we have later on the Yosham of Baganus. We're going to try. But remember what you said. That you're going to erase our Pishoim for your sake. And of course, Chatosecha lo is core. Not going to remember your Chatoim at all. So for that, ask Hashem, please remember what you promised and take that into account. Also, the next one. Mechisi Paznemai ke Mechis Kab Shoecha v'chanon Chatosecha. I erased like an ov. An ov is a thick cloud. Well, like a rain cloud. Pisho'echa, Ke'anon is a lighter cloud. Like a, you know, a white cloud opposed to a dark cloud. So Pshoim, they're much, much thicker and blacker. Chatoim are white and not as thick. So Hashem says, I removed the Pshoim, which were like rain clouds, and like the Chatoim, the Chanan, which are like Anonim, Shuva alai, return to me, kigaltika, because I redeem you. So it's also a very smart pasuk for us to quote on Yom Kippur. Because Hashem, this pasuk it says, first Hashem is going to be Moichel Arzeros, and then he's going to ask us to do tshuva. So we say to Hashem, listen, you promised, right? I know you want us to do tshuva, but you said, first you're going to be Moichel Arzeros, and then we'll talk about tshuva later. You know, it could be that that's one of the reasons why tshuva comes after Shmoneh Esrei. You know, Hashem v'Baganu. We say Hashem kaviyachol, first things first. First we want to have mechila, and then afterwards we'll talk about tshuva. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's, that's what you say, Hashiveinu Hashem eilecha v'nashuva. They're not as dramatic, but we say to Hashem, you bring us back first, then we'll do tshuva. Right? Hashem says to us, what does Hashem say to us? What? Shuva alai v'shuva elechem. Come back to me and I'll come back to you. We say Hashem, no. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. And he would say, and even more than that, before we do tshuva, we want our avers to be atoned for. And that was the promise of Yom Kippur. At least according to Rabbi Yonasi. Even according to Rabbana, it also has similarities, even though it's not precisely the same. Yom Kippur is the time when Hashem is meichel avers. And it's also a very good time to do tshuva. And tshuva is what makes it all, you know, much, much better. It makes from the Averos mitzvos. But at the very least, we say to Hashem, if we don't get to that madrega, at least let our avodas be water under the bridge. All right, we'll continue tomorrow night.
Deliberate rebellion.
A deliberate sin doesn't mean you're rebelling against God.